Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
There. It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number three is Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy, Adam Jones, Christian Arcan filling in on this Patriots game day. Preseason game number two tonight. It's Pats Eagles. Talking a little bit about Chris Gasper's column today in the Boston Globe.
Oh, so we're punting. We're punting on the lookout. That's moving down a little bit.
I had a conversation in the back room. We thought it was the right thing to do. We can change it again right now if you want to.
No. I think we stick with Gasper. I think people were really looking forward to the lookout.
We will be on the lookout for tonight's game coming up at 12:20. I promise you we'll get to it.
Okay.
And it is for everyone
make sure
wondering.
To pay off on that tease.
Wait, didn't you guys do? No, at 10 o'clock we did. What you got your eyes on?
Yeah, that's different.
11 o'clock, peepers peeled.
Right.
What'd you got your peepers peeled for tonight?
Yeah, those are all different.
Coming up at 12:20, on the lookout. What you on the lookout for?
Yeah.
For tonight's Pats-Eagles matchup. But Gasper wrote a column in the Boston Globe talking about the, reasserting of the power structure in Foxborough, saying that, you know, Brady was, you know, certainly looking for a longer-term deal, wanted this, that, and the other, and they ended up signing a contract that... Zolak is trying to FaceTime me right now. What?
Yeah, take it.
Answer it, yeah.
Take it, yeah, sure.
I missed. I don't know how long it was buzzing for.
He probably had a question about the game tonight. He's working on his... I think he's probably charts. Down to about the four... Yeah, about the four deep now. And he probably.
I'm on the phone, Brody.
Do they have anyone from Michigan State? Maybe he was trying. I bet he was trying to get a little background on maybe a player from Michigan State on the Eagles roster. That'd be my guess.
Getting some inside juice on one of the Spartans.
Going real deep for the, mm-hmm. the in his game prep tonight.
Go away, Brody. I'm FaceTiming with Hardy right now. God.
But I want water. What goes on in Zoe's house where the children have to request water?
Yeah.
That seems like something that any kid over the age of, I'm going to say five, should have quick and easy access to without permission from the parents.
Think so. I'm on the phone, Brody.
Yeah, like you kind of want to know, but then at the same time, you're like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
No, I don't, actually.
We'll move on.
Okay.
To the point that if Brady's got that contract, not the one he wants, but the one that he signed, does this, you know, in fact, kind of reestablish who's who in Foxborough with Bill Belichick getting things the way he wants done personnel wise. You know, Brady is reinstalled as, you know, a player and nothing more, blah, blah, blah. Is this somehow kind of a fix based on what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo? Let me tell you just my quick thought at the time. And I still think it, even if it didn't play out this way, I still think it makes sense. They go into last season with Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't trade him beforehand when they could have got more for him, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Start the season with Jimmy Garoppolo. Adam Schefter told us Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be here through the summer.
Wouldn't trade him for four first round picks.
Right. Four first round. Okay. I believe that everyone in Foxborough looked at that team last year and said, look at who we have here. Look at this team going into 2017.
Some people were talking about them going undefeated.
That's right.
Some.
Idiots.
Yeah, some. I mean, I'd hate to be that person, but yeah, some. I think I even heard one guy say 23-0.
23-0.
Count the preseason. They're not going to lose in the preseason either. Someone said that.
How could you?
Yeah.
You would have to go out of your way to lose with this team.
Yep.
even if Tom Brady, heaven forbid, went down, this team is so loaded that they could put Jimmy Garoppolo in and lead them to the 23-0 season.
Mm-hmm.
Lead them to the Super Bowl victory, mm-hmm. right? Then a few things happened. Gilmore didn't show up ready to play, lights out, the way they thought he was going to.
Nope.
Julian Edelman goes down. A couple other things happen defensively, offensively. Philip Dorsett, maybe guys not performing the way you thought they were going to perform.
I mean, Brandon Cooks wasn't as good as we expected.
Brandon Cooks,
him to be.
Excuse me, thank you. That's what I was thinking. I was trying to think of Philip Dorsett. Brandon Cooks wasn't the player you thought he was going to be.
No, Mike Gillisley, you thought maybe was going to be good. Stunk.
Alan Branch had a really down year.
Thank you. Yeah. All these things happen in the first part of the season. Now,
Butler, for as much as we talk about Butler, had a bad year. Lots of stuff happened.
A lot of stuff happened in the first...
On the way to 23-0, a lot of stuff happened.
Right up until the point where Jimmy Garoppolo got a trade, you say, you know, I might as well get something for him. Because I've been told we're not going to keep him beyond this year. Tom Brady was playing well, and Tom Brady's going to keep playing. Tom Brady's going to stay here. And this is, you know, this is full on. I'm going to play until I'm 50. I'm 50 years old and I can kick. Look at me. You know, he's going to play as long as he will.
I'm 50.
Right. Yeah. All of it, right?
Yeah.
Got to get rid of him. Might as well do it now, and we'll send him to a good place. And yeah, I could have had more, and I didn't really even shop it around, but oh well. Okay? And whether you want to think of that as, you know, some kind of a belligerent move toward ownership or not, that's another conversation. There was no point in keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, because at that point it looked like, no, this is not a team that anybody could come in and steward toward a Super Bowl championship.
Sure.
Now, the team got to the Super Bowl anyway and should have won it, but they did not. That's neither here nor there. At the time, it did not appear to be on that path.
But if that's your philosophy, if that's your philosophy, hey, all right, we saw it through. Now we got to get something for him. They would have gotten something for him if he signed a huge deal in free agency. And I don't know how big of a deal he ultimately would have gotten. He only played a game and a half here in New England. He wound up playing five more in San Francisco before he got his deal. He would have figured into your compensatory draft formula. So you would have gotten some sort of compensation down the line for Garoppolo. It would have been more delayed. But if you were really truly only worried about getting something for him, you would have gotten something for him, and you would have had the upshot of protection behind Brady in the same scenario you laid out before. Boy, if Brady gets hurt with all the talent around, Garoppolo could keep it on the rails for a month, or maybe even get you to the postseason, or maybe some felt, not me, you could win a Super Bowl with Garoppolo and the roster around him. I don't know. I think once you went that far down that path, there were other ways to go instead of selling low at the trade deadline. You know, have him factor into your compensatory draft formula, or franchise him to trade him like they did with Matt Cassel. Like, I just think there were other avenues to play that out.
Yeah, there probably could have been. And another thing we don't really talk about much is how if the team was to move on from Brady, which would have been a big deal. I mean, huge deal. We'd be talking about that for years if that happened. But if it did, the Patriots haven't paid a quarterback the way that Jimmy Garoppolo got paid in San Francisco. I mean, they haven't done that ever. Tom Brady's never had a contract like that. And I feel like part of the way that they've been able to structure their roster and their money and sort of all those things you just said, Jones, is the fact that Brady has been taking these team-friendly deals year after year after year. I know he gets paid sort of on the back end, but in terms of the cap hit and how much it actually takes up, it's not really been anything close to what we just saw Garoppolo get paid in San Francisco. So that would have thrown everything off the rails, I think, in some ways.
All right, let's grab a call here. Pete in Delaware has another factor in this whole thing. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, with Don Yee being the agent for both Garoppolo and Brady, don't you think the possibility is that guy was never going to let Garoppolo stay in New England as long as Tom wanted to be here? How could he ever screw over Brady for Garoppolo? And I just don't know where New England thought they could keep Garoppolo based even just with the agent factor.
I think the agent factor and all the things that I talked about, it's impossible to think that anything didn't get talked about enough when it's all this. I think the Don Yee factor is probably the one thing that probably didn't get talked about enough.
Fair, but like, again, there would have become a point where the Patriots couldn't control that, but they could have controlled it this past year. Like, maybe they would have gotten to that point. They weren't there yet. I don't think. Like, there was a way to franchise Garoppolo and figure it out. So, and the agent has no say in that. I mean, unless Garoppolo is going to hold out, you have no say. You have control over the player. So I don't think it was to the point where the agent gets in the way yet. I don't.
All right. We're going to go on the lookout here because there is a get. What are you laughing at? This is a legitimate segment. This is not papers peeled. This is not what you got your eyes on.
Climb up in your deer blind.
That's right.
Yep.
And we're going on the lookout for tonight's Patriots Eagles game. So my question, I want both of you to think about this because it is different. What are you on the lookout for tonight in this preseason game? The Super Bowl rematch, Patriots Eagles. We'll talk about that next. Zoe and Bertrand, Hardy, Adam Jones, Christian Arcan, all filling in.
And I like to kick, stretch, and kick. I'll kick it.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
We're not being private about these guys. We are on the lookout for tonight's Patriots-Eagles game. It's Hardy, Adam Jones, Christian Arcana, all on the lookout for different things in preseason game number two tonight in Foxborough. We already talked about the Super Bowl rematch aspect of it. I initially poo-pooed it, but Jones got me to come around. And I got to tell you something, Jones.
Yeah?
As a frequent listener to the night program of you and Christian Arcan, you do bring me around on certain things. I am not steadfast always in my opinions, and I can be swayed, and I've been swayed.
Oh,
and
that's good to know.
This is one of those things where
sometimes we're too entrenched in our views. You know, sometimes we're too dug in. It's nice to know that you're malleable over there.
I can reach across the aisle and say, you know what?
Hey,
there is value.
Aren't we both people
to this preseason contest? And I will be what.
I gave you a bit of a dead fish there.
It's okay. It helps when you're.
I felt like I should have been in the background, like Clinton, you know, with the.
We're actually employed in a pre and post game capacity for Patriots.com to have an interest in the game, and I do, and I believe there will be some intensity based on what we talked about earlier. You know, let's see if how did you put it? If Coach Belichick does what?
Oh, well, on my checklist, and Arcan was the first one to bring this up, but I think it's a good one. On my checklist, I would say, Bill, can you start both your corners?
Okay, so that is something that you were going to have your eyes on.
Yeah, just, you know, who's out there in the secondary? Is it Gilmore and Rowe? Or are you going to bench Gilmore, too, like you bench Butler in the Super Bowl? You know? Like, I'll have my eyes on that to start.
So that's what.
And then he never explains it. And then Dan Shaughnessy peppers him with questions after the game. Yeah.
But the notion that there is something there, there is some emotion based on what happened in the Super Bowl. You know what?
Like, shouldn't there be?
Yes. And I'm on board with that.
Like, the Redskins last week, I get it. They're Washington. You have no history with them. This team ended your season and embarrassed you.
And I wasn't there at the beginning of the show, but when we did Peepers Peeled at 11 o'clock, I decided I would have my Peepers Peeled.
Good.
For that residual emotion from the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Now, we all understand it's not a rematch, but there's something there. Well, there has to be something there.
Well, they're not doing the banner if they win this. They're not going to do that.
It doesn't count toward the all-time Super Bowl total.
How many diamonds are they going to put on the ring for the preseason?
right.
For the preseason week two victory.
But now we move on to something else entirely. And then for this, we start with Christian Arcan. And I ask you, Christian, what are you on the lookout for?
I'm going to be on the lookout for the running back battle. I'm a big Ralph Webb believer, so I want to see if he's able to carry over his week one performance into week two and carve out a little niche for himself there on the end of that running back depth chart.
Jumbo and Pauly Paul Perillo ready to laugh me out of the studio last week at the mere suggestion that Ralph Webb could end up having a spot on this team. I'm like, well, I saw him play one game.
They laughed you out of the studio?
Pretty good. No, it was a dismissive.
I feel like I heard them talking him up on the TV broadcast.
He's better than Mike Gillisley.
I thought he was good too, but it was.
Well, you don't know. You don't know. not like Jumbo and Paul.
Well, they are there every day. They are there every day.
Sure.
So they do have some insight. Of course they do. But I'm going to be, you know what? I'm going to be on the lookout for Ralph Webb myself today.
My man.
Okay. I think that's a legitimate thing to be looking for. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
What are you on the lookout for? So tonight's game?
I already said I hope they take the game seriously. I hope they take Nick Foles seriously this time. Unlike Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, instead of game planning, going to watch the Timberwolves, and then deciding, it doesn't really matter who I start in my secondary, I'll just bench Malcolm Butler on a whim. So I hope they actually take him seriously. That was one thing that I believe I was watching for. No, what was our first one earlier today?
What you got your eyes on?
Oh, that was what I had.
You're
my
have
eyes
your eyes on that.
I, of course, had my peepers peeled for Brady, really the all-encompassing Brady, body language, physically how he looks, all that good stuff. This one may be stretching it a little bit, Hardy, but it is the preseason.
Mm.
You know, Lane Johnson has been all fired up. He's got Patriots fans all hot and bothered about his comments. Why don't you move on from the Super Bowl, right?
Mm.
Why don't you move on? Isn't it time? Like, boy, you're really fixated on the Patriots, aren't you? Time to move on. And he had some comments, right, Christian?
Lane Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, he had some comments about he hopes the fans are all jazzed up or gassed up or whatever
tonight. Yeah, he wants all whipped into a frenzy.
Yep. So he's all excited for that. He's ready for it. And I just wonder, while I'm watching along on social media, that's how I like to watch the Patriots, Hardy. You know, I kind of have my TV on, on my phone, I'm kind of scrolling through.
I thought you were going to say, I don't go to the games, I don't even watch them on TV. I just try and figure out what's going on via social media.
Yep, that's me.
Okay.
Yep. I got the phone out and the TV out. I'm getting lost in social media.
I can tell you are going outside the box on this on the lookout. So you're going to be on the lookout for...
Well, I want to see the hypocrisy, whether it is from media members or certainly fans, when it comes to Lane Johnson. You know, if Lane Johnson does anything, he's so livid in the past, he's stuck on this, time to move on, isn't it? How many of those people do you think own, like, I don't know, a 28-3 shirt? How many people do you think are fixated on really rubbing the other team's nose in it like they do with the Atlanta Falcons? Like, how is what Lane Johnson is doing? We talked about this briefly last night. How is what Lane Johnson's doing any different than, I don't know, the Patriots before they played the Falcons last year, putting 28-3 on the scoreboard at Gillette Stadium?
So you're literally going to be looking for a tweet that says Lane Johnson can go.
I'm just looking for the hypocrisy out of fans and media.
So let me
to tell Lane Johnson to shut up.
It is different, by the way.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Let me be specific here. So if you see a tweet that's from just a fan, retweeted by, who would retweet such a tweet like that? Pick a media member.
Zoe?
Okay. Zoe retweets a guy that says, Lane Johnson can go kick rocks.
Yep.
You will then go to that person's...
I'm ready to pounce.
You will then go to that person's timeline and scroll back through and see if they've done any gloating of their own after a Patriots win. That's what you'll be on the lookout
for. No, that's a good idea, though. I wasn't planning on doing that, but no, now I might. Yes, I hadn't really considered taking it to that length.
Because that's
yes.
what it's going to take.
Yeah, now
that's
I'll start
what it's
doing
take
that.
In order to like, weed out the and to beat the bushes for the hypocrites, you're going to have to do some digging.
This is what winners do. Do people not realize this? This is what winners do. I know the Patriots don't lose a lot, but when you lose, when you get embarrassed, when you choke, the other team gets to talk about it. Case in point, the Patriots in 28-3. Like, you don't have a problem with 28-3, do you, Patriots fans? You don't have a problem with your organization putting it on the scoreboard before you played the Falcons in a game last year at Gillette. Like, you don't have a problem with that. This is what teams do when they win. So that was
just a scoreboard operator. It's not like the owner or anybody else would do something with the rings or anything.
I think that's worse than a dumb player popping off. That's worse.
It's not like they put 283 diamonds in the championship ring.
No, even better, right? Yeah, no. Oh, they'd never do that.
And you know what? You're fully 100% entitled, and I support all of it. It's not as much fun when it's somebody from the Eagles doing it. But of course, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you lost. You know?
Have some fun with it.
Tell Bill not to go to the Timberwolves game next time. And maybe it'd be a different outcome, and Lane Johnson wouldn't be blabbing on and on and on. I forgot about the rings. I forgot about the diamonds in the
How
ring.
How could you forget about those
shame
rings?
Shame on me. That's even better than my point. That's even better than my point.
That was good. But
which I thought was pretty good to start with.
You guys are also sort of ignoring one big part of this. 28-3 was a historic comeback. That was like a big deal in that one game. What Lane Johnson said was different.
Beating the Patriots with a backup is pretty historic, too.
Not really. I mean, it's just Patriots won a game with a backup.
backup once. I mean, it's not really historic, but what Lane Johnson was saying wasn't the same as, oh, we came back from a 28-3 deficit and came back and beat you. He
it's
said
trolling
no.
the other team.
He
it's
said
the same.
That the Patriots are robotic. He said that they're joyless. He said that it's a fear-based organization. He went on and on
check,
and on
check,
about
check.
The team and the organization.
What are the Patriots saying?
The Patriots didn't do that about the Falcons. They didn't say that.
What does 28-3 mean?
It means we beat you in this one game. It's not your organization sucks and we hate your whole team. It's different. It's a different thing.
It means you choke, you suck. That's what it means.
It means you choked in that one game. It means you beat you in one game.
It means you choked and you suck.
Scathing criticism about the entire franchise. Come on, that's different. No, it's not the same.
100% the same.
Definitely not.
And it's actually, again, it's actually what the ring. I completely the ring's so bad. That's so bad. This is a dumb player popping off at the mouth. That happens all the time. Your owner is trolling the other owner. Your owner is trolling a whole fan base.
Awesome.
Oh,
love it.
Oh, it's great. I'm just saying, don't complain about Lane Johnson and then sit there and cheer the ring or the scoreboard last year or buy your 28-3 t-shirt. You're doing the exact same thing that you're criticizing him of doing.
My only criticism of Lane Johnson is he keeps talking about the disrespect that the Eagles suffered at the hands of the coach. The coach disrespected their coach, and that the disrespect toward the there are a lot of people picking the Eagles to win that game. I think the Eagles were.
Were there? Well, I remember Tony Maz.
But no one thought it was going to be a blowout, I don't think.
I think people did think that.
I mean, I did.
I didn't think it was going to be a blowout, and I don't think they were disrespected. And mostly to the point, I think Lane Johnson's going to be really disappointed if he expects a frenzied atmosphere and people holding up, you know, like burning him in effigy out in the parking lot, because I think 99% of the people in that stadium tonight would be hard pressed to pick out Lane Johnson on the field. Now, what position does he play? Is he he's a lineman, you know, offensive line? Where is he down there? Just don't get disappointed, Lane. If the venom that is thrown your way tonight
isn't quite there,
isn't quite what you're expecting.
Was that too far outside the box for On the Lookout? Did I not stay within the parameters of On the Lookout?
It's the best one so far. Out of what you got your eyes on, Peepers Field, On the Lookout was the gem of the three. I don't know.
Yep. They're watching Lane Johnson and Twitter trolls.
Three block and hand block and opening up holes. I don't know. What position does he play?
Yeah, right tackle.
Right tackle. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All pro.
Gold glove. How can we top it with what to watch for coming up at 1 o'clock? Time will tell.
You're not going to want to miss it.
We're gonna get back to Jalen Ramsey's quarterback evaluations. We'll finish those up. And the Shark and Truro ain't got nothing on Yogi up in Vermont. That's according to Adam Jones. He's got something to say about your foolish shark attacks at 12:50.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots and Eagles taking to the field tonight. Preseason week 2, a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. Tom Brady and Nick Foles both expected to make their preseason debuts tonight. Brady says he feels good.
Tom, how are you feeling health-wise?
I feel good. Thank you. Feel really good.
It's on the plan is for you to play tomorrow.
Yep. I mean, I think the plan's always to play. It's whether I do or don't is up to coach, but yeah, I certainly plan on being out there.
Mike Reese reporting that Brady will play, and the plan could involve Brady playing deep into the first half. Pregame gets going at 4:30 with Gasper and Beadle. Kickoff at 7:30. Dan Roach, Matt Chatham on the call right here on your home for Patriots football, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Red Sox lost last night and had a 5-game winning streak snapped in Philadelphia. 7-4 your final score. Phillies catcher Wilson Ramos, a pair of RBI doubles. Red Sox finished the road trip 7-2. They're off tonight, but we'll be back at Fenway tomorrow to open up a 3-game set with the Rays. Brian Johnson on the hill opposite Ryan Stanek for Tampa. In other baseball news, Yankees GM Brian Cashman told Mike Francesa yesterday that there is now no timetable for Aaron Judge's return. It's been extended beyond the original 3 weeks that was anticipated. Judge been on the shelf since July 26th with a wrist injury. Speaking of injuries, Atlanta Braves rookie Ronald Acuna Jr., who was plunked on the first pitch of the game by Marlins starter Jose Urena last night, sparking a benches-clearing scuffle, had an MRI and several x-rays on his elbow. They were all negative and normal.
and Acuna will be considered day-to-day, and his five-game home run streak will remain intact. And former Red Sox and current Tigers DH Victor Martinez told reporters he intends to retire at the end of this year after 16 seasons in the big leagues. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by South Shore Bank Student Checking. Start the school year off right with no monthly fee or minimum balance, plus all non-South Shore Bank ATM fees waived. Details at southshorebank.com. I'm Christian Arkand on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 1 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Aretha Franklin passed away this morning at the age of 76 at her home in Detroit. So T-Bone has been good enough to give us some Queen of Soul coming back here throughout the day.
Yeah, the Chain of Fools sounds like the sports talk radio.
It sounds like those zebras moving the chains on the sidelines.
Yeah, they're going to be doing that a lot for Brady tonight. Hopefully not for Foles.
617-779-0985. We'll get to more Jalen Ramsey's quarterback evaluations when we get your calls in. Two, we begin with Adam, who's in Lowell. Adam, you're on with Hardy and Adam Jones. What's up there, Adam?
Hey, guys. Love to hear you guys on in the midday. I got to say, you're right. So the winner's good as the spoilers. You can absolutely trash talk all you want. I love hearing it from the Eagles, though, because they just reek of a team that's going to have success but then fall apart like wet tissue paper next season. I don't know why. I don't have a good reason to give you. Wentz is awesome. I don't think he's able to stay healthy, though. He's going to keep making dumb decisions like diving towards the end zone when they're up by 10. And on top of that, Lane Johnson, yeah, I mean, I think he's doing most of the talking because he's all amped up on the steroids because he's been popped a couple times. So maybe somebody with some integrity should be talking trash. Thank you, guys.
All right, appreciate it. He doesn't look like a guy.
No, and I think the Patriots have the moral high ground when it comes to PEDs. Oh, Julian Edelman's out the first four games of the year, right?
Did they ever identify the substance?
I forgot about that one, yep.
Did they ever identify it?
Nope. No. One step ahead of the testers.
Then I don't know that it happened. You can't tell me what he did wrong. What did he do wrong?
Brady missed four games. Means he deflated the footballs. That's all I know. Edelman missed four games. Means it was PEDs.
He was doing that to protect the ball boys.
Yeah.
Maybe you missed that excerpt in the deflation book.
He did a great job of that, too, because they're still gainfully employed, right? They're still working for the team. Isn't that how that all ended? No, not quite.
Somebody asked Zoe about that recently. Maybe he'll FaceTime me again in the middle of a segment and answer the question. But he answered that with, he's around. Which one? Oh, one of them.
You want to know my theory on that whole excerpt?
Of course.
Do you, while we're here?
Yes.
Brady didn't say that Jastrzemski and McNally did it because Brady did it. That's why. He wasn't going to throw them under the bus. Brady told them what to do. He wasn't going to say, oh, yeah, you guys can be my fall guy. Brady wasn't going to throw two of the employees under the bus for deflating footballs that he knew well he wanted prepared a certain way.
Guilty plea. That would have been a guilty plea, basically. Admission of guilt. If he had done that.
Did what?
If he had said, no, it was these guys. Because obviously he told them to do it.
Many people had that takeaway. I'm saying Brady wasn't going to throw those guys under the bus because it was Brady who wanted them all along. Simplest answer.
Brady did nothing wrong. And he wasn't going to admit to anything and somehow throw those guys under the
bus. That's what
you
believe.
Because they didn't do anything. No, I believe they were doing it all along and that it's no big deal. I believe that it is.
So that might be right. Maybe it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
I mean, the only thing wrong about it is
there's a reason they did it, so they thought they got a benefit out of it. But sure, was it a big deal? Is it the reason they won the Super Bowl or Super Bowls in the past if they were doing it? No, of course not. Same thing with Spygate.
By the way, there's a very, intelligent neighbor who we'd never talked about this, but he said to me something the other day, or like, you know, a picnic, and he said something along the lines of...
Old neighbor or new neighbor?
Well, this was an old new neighbor. This was a guy who had only lived in my old neighborhood for, I don't know, less than a year or so. But we had never really talked sports or anything. Hmm. But he wanted to talk about the Deflategate stuff. And he was 100% on board that it never happened, that the science proved it out. I'm like, I understand that theoretically you could prove that it didn't happen, but if, he said, what do you think? I said, well, of course. Of course, look at all the other, forget about, you know, the pounds per square inch and forget about all the stuff.
Yeah, but have you ever, did you ever get in your car on a cold day?
Yes, that's why he was.
Did you ever leave a football out in the yard and then, or a basketball out in the yard and then go get it? Huh? Did you ever do that?
He couldn't
ever heard
see,
that one?
He couldn't see the forest floor for all the needles that were on it. I mean, he really couldn't, he couldn't get past it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Of course, and it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters, they fought it for so long and went back and forth and had all these different approaches to it when they, you know, could have done one or the other, said, nope, never happened. Do whatever you want. But, you know, we say, no, it never happened, or just admit it right away and everything would have been fine. But instead it dragged on for years, literally, for no reason. Let's grab one more call here. Curtis in Maine.
Hey, yeah. Guys, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Curtis.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I'm totally on board with Christian on this one. I don't think Jones could be more wrong. I mean, looking back on the Super Bowl and with the Falcons, the reason it was so significant is because it had never happened before. There had never been an overtime Super Bowl game. No team had ever come back from such a large deficit. So it was more the actual historic event. I almost liken it to, it's a little bit different, but 2004 with the Red Sox and Yankees and the Sox coming back, it was a piece of it was because it was the Red Sox and Yankees, but the biggest thing was
right.
A team had never come down.
It's not about the Yankees choking at all. That's not what Red Sox fans do.
No, but it was more about no, it was that made it that much. It made it that much more sweeter. But when people look back, they're going to look at the only team to ever come back from a 3-game deficit was the Red Sox. And so, I mean, like I said,
you don't think the Patriots putting 28-3 on the scoreboard when the Falcons came back is trolling?
Well, let me tell you, I was at that game, and I don't remember that. I mean, okay, I was pretty. I had some beverages, but I don't remember that at all.
You know what, Curtis? Then I'm with you. Then it didn't happen.
It definitely happened.
Didn't happen. Curtis was there. He didn't see it.
Well, it was foggy that day. Remember, it was really foggy in the stadium.
That's right.
So maybe, or was it fireworks? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the fireworks smoke.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was all the pyro.
Right. Yep.
There was a shark attack in Truro. A gentleman from New York who Jim Louth found out way too much information on.
Like salary.
Oh, yes. Yeah, salary, net worth,
different,
other states he's lived in.
Different homesteads. Yeah, sure.
Properties that he's homesteaded.
Yep.
Occupation.
Religious beliefs.
All this stuff. And the man is in serious condition. He was med-flighted after what I believe to be a shark attack. This was no boat accident.
No.
It wasn't a barracuda, and it wasn't Jack the Ripper. This was a shark. Jones says, sharks got nothing on something else.
Mm-hmm.
That something else is what he will tell us all about. Moments away here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zoe leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, some Mother Nature's recipes that bring...
12:55 Thursday afternoon. Life. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Adam Jones filling in. Christian Arcan here. So we got the night show plus me here. So we got all the bases covered, especially when it comes to stories. Like the shark attack in Truro, 61-year-old New York man in serious condition after he was bit on the leg and torso. He was med-flighted to a Boston hospital, and a lot of people were panicked and shocked. Not Scott Zolak, who predicted a Cape Cod shark attack this summer, and he was correct on that front, not on others. And while a lot of people are panicked by this, Adam Jones, you say this ain't nothing.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. Like how this debate started last night. I believe Matt McCarthy of the Sports Hub said, "Well, I don't go in the shark's house or something like that because you know, you go in there, the shark isn't coming to my house, I don't go in the shark's house."
Stay out them oceans. Yeah, is
exactly.
what we've been told on numerous occasions.
And I said, "Well, that's not a great philosophy to have. Like, what do you avoid the woods because of the bear? You stay out of the bear's house. Bear doesn't come in your house. Do you go into a bear's house?" And so this then created a bit of a shark versus bear debate last night, which I will say, you know, I'm not screwing around with sharks. That's about as scary as it gets. I just think people may underestimate may underestimate Bayer when it comes to this debate. That's all. That's all. I think it's a closer debate than people would be. A bear will outrun you. A bear will outclimb you. He'll sniff you out from miles and miles and miles away.
To borrow from years ago on a segment we used to do called Creature Feature, can a bear kill you?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Yes. And don't even
ask Grizzly Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask Grizzly Man.
So you're saying that you should be, if I may.
Yeah. Respect the bear.
If you're going to have a fear, and I wouldn't call it an irrational fear, there are people swimming in the ocean getting bit by sharks. You're saying if you're going to have a fear of something, sure, you can be respectful and fearful of a shark, but you should be equally, if not more, fearful of a bear.
Fair. I like the way you phrase it better than me. Yes.
Okay.
If that's your philosophy in life, shark doesn't come in my house, I don't go in the shark's house.
The ocean is the shark's house.
What about bear? You're just trouncing around in the bear's house?
But sometimes you live next to the woods, and it's almost impossible not to go into the woods.
Sometimes you live next to the ocean.
But you can stay out them oceans.
Live in the
ocean.
You
can stay out of the woods. Sometimes you're going into the woods just as a human person on the
planet. If you live in the suburbs, you live in the woods. You live near a bear.
Well, then you're in the bear's house. That's on you.
Stay out them oceans.
That's on you. That's on you. You're in the bear's house then. So careful.
Does this have anything to do with the fact that you come from the landlocked, wooded state of Vermont? And
how dare you talk down about Vermont?
I'm not. No, it is a landlocked, heavily
accurate.
Wooded, bear infested.
Yeah, I didn't like the tone, but yeah, you're right. That's
hellhole.
Yep.
Ask him about cows.
Yep,
it's just bears everywhere. Bears everywhere.
Yep, yep.
Do you think that the feelings and that your attitude on this has been skewed by the fact that you grew up literally surrounded by man-eating bears?
Yeah, I think it might be. I think people don't respect the power of the bear. That's what I'm saying. We got all these freakouts about shark attacks, and they're very serious, but I feel like we're sleeping on bear. I feel like that. I feel like we're not, like I said.
It's like Guy from Machine is on the show.
Yeah, we asked the question last night. Don't sleep on bear. We asked the question last night, and everybody's like, oh, it's shark, it's shark, it's shark. It's closer than you're making it out to be. That's all. I'm just making a case for that.
I will back you up for a moment as I spent... on this particular point, spent a couple of summers ago, took the kids up to Storyland,
mm-hmm.
little Santa's Village.
Sure.
A little 1-2 punch.
Nice.
Staying up there in a condo owned by one Howie Sylvester.
Oh, wow.
Right there at Attitash.
How about that?
North Conway. Do I have the resort right?
Sounds right.
Right around there, yeah.
Okay, right around there.
Bear country.
We are minding our own business in the middle of the summer there, eating a pizza and a burger there at the restaurant there.
Well, there's your first mistake. You don't take food into the bear's house.
We're in the restaurant.
Careful. Don't get a to-go box.
We look out the window. The main road that kind of splits the resort in half there, right? You go across the street to the mountain there. We see a bunch of people running in that direction, like in the tunnel to go. I think there's a tunnel that goes under the road there. There's people, not a bunch. It's summertime, but I don't know, 8, 10, whatever. Mm-hmm. Why were they going over there, Jones?
A bear?
Not running from the bear. Running toward the bear.
Oh.
There was a bear sniffing around
that's not respecting the bear. That's what I'm talking about.
You know, the ski lift house there looking for a pot of honey. Whatever the bears were doing. And people wanted to get
probably
up close.
It's probably legitimately eating garbage is probably what it's doing.
Going to get a good picture of the bear. Not one from so far away where you had to, you know, swipe on your phone and do the finger thing to enlarge it, see the bears right there. No, let's go get a big picture of that.
No, that's good.
Big bear.
What did you say last night about a bear?
Well, bears can be...
What do you do if a bear crosses your path?
If you encounter a bear, and I read this online, there's several ways to handle it.
You weren't born with this knowledge, is what you're saying.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't know this. This wasn't my natural
instinct. Because Jones, it gets ingrained in them at such an early age.
Yep. I was a city kid. I didn't have... There weren't bears around in the North End when I was growing up there. But I will say this. When you're in the water with a shark, it's not like you can intimidate the shark. Like, you can intimidate a bear. You ever seen those videos of, like, a cat? and like there's like a bear sniffing around the cat, and the cat slaps the bear, and the bear runs away. Like, you can't do that with a shark. You're in the ocean, that shark's going to eat you. And best case scenario, it bites your leg or something, and you bleed out in the ocean, or you get carried off to whatever happened to that poor schlub yesterday, something along those lines. The bear, at least, if it does turn on you, probably kill you pretty quick, so it won't hurt that much. But well, you have a chance. You have the chance to at least, like, get big and yell and scream and run at the bear.
I'd like to
and
see.
Maybe the bear would run away. Maybe bears are stupid. They might get scared by that.
I'd like to see how that goes for you. Get big. Go up to the bear and take a picture. See how that works out for you.
I think you should
Did the bear eat any of those people up in Storyland, up in Santa's Village?
As far as I know, no, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. And I'll tell you something else. Leonardo DiCaprio would argue with you. You ever see a movie called The Revenant?
Yes, that documentary, The Remnant, yes.
Yeah, well, it's not a remnant. It's a
Revenant. Yes.
Revenant. That bear not only attacked him once, but twice, and appeared to have its way with him.
Yeah.
Old country way. Yeah. Made him humble, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, don't. What if he got big with the bear and just yelled at him?
Yeah.
That worked?
Didn't
sound like it worked for Leo DiCaprio, now did it?
And
no,
he was a grizzled old-timey mountain man.
Nope.
If anybody knew what they were doing.
Didn't work out for Grizzly Man, now did it? He was friendly with the bears. How'd that work out?
Grizzly Man was sleeping in his tent when the bears came and ate him, though. It's not like he had a chance to go out there
and
use the tactics that I'm sure he learned out there in the... But the difference is, it's not going to work 100% of the time, but you have a better chance than with a shark in the ocean in open water? What, are you kidding me? You're done.
The guy from New York made it out okay. He's 61 years old.
He was standing in 3 feet of water. That's different. I mean, if you're swimming out there...
30 yards from shore.
Whatever.
30 yards from shore.
3 feet of water. That's nothing.
First to second base, and he made it back, and he's fine. Other than the helicopter flight up to Mass General, where he's in serious condition.
Right.
He's okay.
He's missing a butt cheek, too, I hear.
Tell me about the bear survivor stories. You don't survive a bear attack.
Grizzly Man, out. What's the guy, Man vs. Wild? You ever watch that show? What's his name?
Bear Grylls.
Shark Grylls? No. Bear Grylls.
To the surprise of no one, we have close to loaded lines on sharks and bears. So we will push off what to watch for until 1:20. Shark and bear calls after the Hub headlines.